from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Jonnu Smith said this about Buffalo. It's the worst place you could be in the world. He trashed Buffalo and he trashed the wings, trashed the fans, all that stuff. It does add some juice to the rivalry.
Mike Danger.
I like hearing that Josh Allen is holding others to a higher standard, holding others accountable.
Gene Battaglia.
I didn't know the Bills had it in him. Wow. They're pushing him around. This is exactly what we want, what we need.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Hey, good afternoon to you as we welcome you into Rochester's only local sports talk show. It's a Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us and listening along at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free to download Odyssey app, your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. And of course, our video stream up and rolling for you. You can watch the Sports Bar on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester and Twitch. As well, I'm Danger, that's Battaglia.
And we're back on a Friday.
We are back on a Friday. Sorry, I turn on your microphone there, buddy. I'm full disclosure, like, we're able to come in here at 3 o'clock. We can exchange our pleasantries, say hello to the audience. I just spent some time listening to our Odyssey Sports sister station, WFAN in New York. They don't have time for any of that because they are gripping right now if they're Yankee fans. They are lost.
Another loss last night. And Baltimore getting swept by your Cubs. So how are the O's feeling? I'm kind of salty too.
The thing about the Orioles, though, is that when they go through these little pockets where they get swept by teams they shouldn't lose, like it feels like they bounce back with relative ease.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees haven't won a series in over a month.
You got to go back to the Royals.
The Royals June, series. Yeah. And they are, well, I'll just share the highlights of what I just kind of listened to for the last. Now, you're impartial. You're a Mets fan. If you were a Yankee fan, Gino, would you rather see this Yankee team right now continue to go for it by making some moves at the deadline or sell off a major piece and try to add more for a longer term? Because nothing is working and nothing has worked with this regime.
All right, so to answer your question, come on, they're still a playoff team. So no, absolutely not. You're going to sell off and you're going to be in a playoff. That's malpractice. But what I would, and I don't know if this has come up in the last 20 minutes or if Yankee fans, it's such a, you're numb to the fact that this is screaming for a managerial change. But the Yankees, just like the Cowboys and Jerry leaving Mike McCarthy and Wade Phillips and certainly Jason Garrett in there too long, the Yankees don't do this anymore. George Steinbrenner is dead, okay? They don't make changes. So to me, that's a simple move. Sorry, Aaron, it's not getting done. Everybody needs to kind of wake up here. And there are plenty of good managers that you can go out there and put right in. In fact, I would suggest one now. Buck Showalter, bring him back. At least this team would shape up.
It's crazy. Crazy. And they've got a series, like you mentioned, this weekend against the Orioles, who are licking their wounds. Later this hour, we'll be joined by the voice, one of the voices of the Baltimore Orioles, and Ben Wagner, our buddy, will be joining us at 3:25.
Yeah, Ben Wagner, who he worked in Rochester covering Section 5 football one year, longtime voice of the Bisons, goes to the Blue Jays, and now he's with the Orioles. And the Orioles are an interesting team. You want to talk about a guy who's the MVP of the league? Oh, it's just maybe Gunnar Henderson. Look at his stats as a shortstop for the O's. And if the O's end up running away with the division, end up being the number one seed and take that away from Cleveland, Henderson might be your MVP. He might be batting against Paul Skenes. Ooh, we'll get the thoughts of Ben Wagner, have a baseball conversation coming up as that All-Star game. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. Ben Wagner, voice of the Orioles, one of them, joining us here shortly.
Don Stevens, the voice of the Rochester American, stops by the sports bar in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll check in a little off-season check-in here with Don.
Yeah, take a look at the schedule here for the Amerks, how he thinks it kind of lays out here. Got to get his thoughts here. And got to ask him the question, too, like, Don, what kind of workload are you on here this year? How many times do you think he hears that?
Don, I think, has earned the right to say, yeah, I'm on for that road trip. I'm not doing that road trip. If Don says Belleville is too much, then I think Don has earned that right.
Well, untold story here for the Yankees. Like, John Sterling, he was powering down. We all knew that. And he got 1 week into the season like, nah. Now, did he not think this Yankee team was going to be where they are right now? Or you're just looking at all the travel and you're thinking, no, I'm kind of done.
Yeah, I want to say it's probably the latter. You know, that you've done this for as long as you've done it. You know what comes with the territory. And you also know what your limitations are, what you're physically and mentally capable of doing after you've been doing it for as long as these legends have done it. I don't blame anybody for saying, yeah, I'm good. Good run. Good career. I mean, come on. Don, Hall of Famer, Sterling, fantastic. These guys can call their own shots. And if they decide at that point in time when it's time to hang up the headphones, can anybody really blame them?
No.
I can't. So, Don, we'll check in with him coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. We have plenty of time for your phone calls this afternoon. If you want to join us, our number is 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326. It feels like Major League Baseball got it right, even though, we kind of knew this was going to happen. It makes too much sense. Even baseball can't screw this up. Paul Skenes getting the start for the All-Star game.
Yeah, in fact, usually they kind of wait and they try to build suspense and everything else. No, you want to shoot the flare off into the sky. You want people, as they're getting together for whatever they're getting together for this weekend, barbecue, graduation party, hey.
Talk about it.
Hey, Skenes. This is exciting. Oh, my God, baseball got it right.
That's right.
They got it right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Skenes, even though he got pulled from a no-hitter yesterday, I mean, you know, in kind of learning about this, you could see he's excited about the opportunity, but also not really surprised that he was pulled after 99 pitches with a no-hitter on the line.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. Now, for the Pirates, they could say, hey,
we won.
We got to protect our investment. And that's where I'm going to go with this, because if you look at the odds right now, for the NL Cy Young. Seems crazy that a rookie of the year could win the Cy Young right out of the gate. He's third at plus 900.
Mm.
Now you think, I take that. Here's why I would caution no. Because, honestly, Danger, if the Pirates are babying him in July, not letting him go for a no-hitter, and they're out of this, you don't think they're going to shut him down? You don't think they're going to put an innings limit on Paul Skenes at some point? Chris Sale right now is the leader at plus 125. Zach Wheeler is at plus 140. So that's
pretty good
a lot
gap
of the
between those guys.
Yeah, it's a lot of the conversation. But what Skenes is doing, it's historic. And sometimes that word gets thrown around when things really aren't historic. I mean, the idea that he is the first pitcher since 1900. 10 of his first 11 starts, he's K'd at least 7. 11 yesterday in the 8 innings, or 7 innings, I should say. Like, this guy is so exciting. I'd say this. A lot of people were excited about Strasburg, and he's the most exciting guy since Strasburg, but I say he's more exciting. I say, like, I would put him in the level, him and Doc Gooden. as far as rookies that come on and just like, oh my gosh, I have to watch. Fernando Madian in Los Angeles, that was a different vibe.
You're right. That's a good comparison. As somebody who, as I say often, I like baseball. I don't love baseball, but like I remember being a kid, being invested in baseball, collecting cards, following the players. And I remember as a kid, the mania that came about all of us as fans when Dr. K came on the scene. And when Gooden was out there, you had to pay attention. You wanted to see what he was going to do, what he was going to throw. And I don't know that anybody has captured that kind of enthusiasm as much as Skeens has so far this year. It's been remarkable to watch.
You can write to us on X. Our handle is TheFanRochester. Or, hey, if you're like our friend Deanna, she sent me an email today.
Oh.
Okay, so he's at mike.danger@odyssey.com. I'm at Gene, G-E-N-E .B-A-T-T-A-G-L-A at odyssey.com.
This is for the longer form, if 140 characters aren't enough.
Yeah, or if you're just in front of your keyboard and you want to fire off an email, check the email when we go to break. This is Deanna's take, and she's a Pittsburgh fan. As much as I love what's happening in the last few days in Pittsburgh with the Pirates and Skeens, I just can't help but wonder how long before the front office begins to look shipping him out.
That's right.
So they don't have to pay him. This is Gerrit Cole all over again. Yeah. The best baseball stadium in the league, in my opinion. And it's only had postseason baseball in two seasons since it opened in 2001. Deanna, I feel for you and every other Pirate fan, and this is why the NFL, the model of the NFL is superior to baseball, because at least the NFL, if you have an owner that, hey, I'm going to prioritize making money over winning, it's kind of tough to do. When you can't just shirk a quarterback. You got to at least ride with the quarterback for a little bit. We can all kind of identify the NFL franchises, but in baseball, you want to make money. The Pirates are the one like, hey, we're just going to kind of keep the profit here and run it bare bones as long as we can. Gerrit Cole all over again. No, this is worse than Gerrit Cole. When Gerrit Cole came up, he was a good pitcher, certainly a good pitcher, and you knew he was going to get traded. Paul Skeens is the guy in the sport right now. And whether it's 1 year, 2 years from now, we kind of have a tendency to project to the end of the story. But can the Pirates do the right thing and say, you know what, you are going to be a Pirate for life here?
I said it almost, I was half joking when I first said it. Like, they should trade him now. His value is higher now than it'll ever be. Trade him now. Trade him. Get something of return for Skeens, because you're never going to pay that guy. And, you know, you're right. In baseball, you can kind of tell that organization is pretty cheap. And it is a beautiful ballpark. She's right about that. It deserves more than it's gotten as far as like postseason attention. I would love it if he just stayed. I would love it if they actually made the investment, if they actually said, I mean, you've got him for what, at least 4 years?
Yeah.
5 years?
Right. Four. So you can, it's arbitration. I should look that up, but.
At minimum, if you're a Pirates fan, you have that to look forward to, at minimum.
Right. So, but you look at what the Rays do. There's the counterpoint to this. And Gerrit Cole certainly got Houston to a World Series. Cy Young's in New York. Like, he's done great after leaving Pittsburgh, after making his money. How often does it work out that the pitcher gets the money and then he gets hurt and everything else? So that's also part of this. You look at the model of the Tampa Bay Rays, and that's one of the rules. They will not pay a pitcher over the year or in a contract that goes past the age of 30.
Hmm.
So, but I think Skeens is the rare bird. Like, you enjoy this. You see where the market is at. You're a squirrel right now if you're Pirates ownership. You are putting things away. And then when that day comes up 3 years from now, here you go. Honestly, that's how I view it.
Yeah, that would be wonderful for that franchise. And he is something. And I'm excited. I'm actually excited for Tuesday. I'm excited for the All-Star game, because you'll get to see him throw against the American League's best.
Okay, let's see if Mike Danger can identify where my mind is at. Over-under cutaways on Tuesday night.
Olivia Dunn. You want to know how often they're going to Olivia Dunn?
I'm putting it at seven. Seven.
That's high.
That's seven. Well, that would also include, hey, for those just joining us,
the
here's
family.
Paul Skeens, like, you know, striking out the side in the first inning, and then a cutaway to Dunn.
Oh, right. So, like,
so
a pre-recorded.
Yeah, so I think a replay of her would also count.
I think seven is high. I will put the number at 2. I think 2.
Oh, come on. They've blown past that.
I think it's 2. I don't think they're going to make as big a deal out of that relationship as you think they're going to do. And furthermore, I don't know that the casual viewer of the All-Star game even knows who Olivia Dunn is. Like, she's in the world of sports. We all kind of see her as this kind of like visionary, not visionary, but like a pioneer in terms of her ability to use her college athleticism and parlay it into, you know, as to one of the first NIL athletes to truly make money off of their name as a college athlete. She's one of the first and probably the best who's done it up to this point, maybe save for Caitlin Clark. So we get that. But to everybody else, she's a college gymnast from LSU. That does anybody follow LSU gymnastics? I know they won the national championship, but that's about it. I know she's coming back for her fifth year. We know that because we're close to it. But I don't know that, you know, they might just cut away to her and not even mention that it's Olivia Dunn. They might just cut away to her and be like, and there's the family of Paul Skeens. Excited to see him. I'd say 2. That's okay. My guess.
Okay.
But, regardless, I'm excited. I'm excited to see that. And when was the last time you could say, hey, the All-Star game is coming up? I'm excited for that, to see what that looks like.
Yeah, that's Tuesday, Monday being Home Run Derby. We'll be talking here shortly with Ben Wagner, one of the voices of the Baltimore Orioles. That is coming up. I have a theory, like when it comes, I call it my airport theory. And I came to this recently because I had to pick up my son at the airport. I haven't been to our airport. Have you been to our airport recently?
Dropped off my daughter yesterday morning.
It's nice.
It's beautiful. Yeah. A lot of renovations. I mean, look, it's not big. It's easy to get around. Relatively quiet. Like, I don't know the last time I was at the Rochester airport. I'm like, whoa, it's busy. But I don't fly that much. So.
Well, I don't think you need it to be busy. But you need it to be modern and clean and
presentable.
Easy to get in and out of.
Yeah.
And what? Why? Why? All the problems here. Who cares? Like the percentage of people that actually use the airport. No, it's meant for business. It's meant for welcome to Rochester. It's the first impression.
This is what we're about.
The first impression, in my opinion, for any visiting player in Buffalo is the dumpy locker room. Nobody talks about this.
Oh.
But that locker room, the visiting side, it's the worst in the league. It's cramped. It's outdated. The tunnel. It's you're crawling over things. I mean, it's set from the 1970s. It really, really is. So, yeah, you know, hearing the guys on One Bills Live getting upset about Jonnu Smith and his negative comments about Buffalo, and like, what would he know about Buffalo? The answer is nothing. He's not like, right. You know, and I don't want this Look, Buffalo is now getting shot. You were out the one on vacation when Rebecca Lobo made the little crack at Albany. And
yeah.
The Chamber of Commerce, we need to show her what Albany is really about. And don't burn calories over what Jonnu Smith says about Buffalo. It's a Francesa. Who cares? But I would say this, that if the Buffalo Bills were really... If money were no object, you would want the visiting players who could potentially be free agents, you know, someday coming in and thinking this is a first-class organization when this is like, it looks like a high school locker room. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, so your take is that Jonnu Smith's comments have more to do with how he's been received in Buffalo during his time as an NFL athlete, meaning his time in Buffalo was majority of it spent in a dumpy locker room.
Dumpy locker room, and when it comes to the hotels, and this is what Brady said years ago, it's like there are no 5-star hotels, I'm sorry, in Buffalo.
Right.
You're standing, I don't even know if the Adams Mark is still down there. I mean, there's nothing against that, but it's...
You're getting what you get.
You get what you get.
And I think if you're going to take umbrage with anything, hold on. What do you mean the chicken wings aren't that good? I mean, I'll put our chicken wings up against anybody's chicken wings, Gino. Anybody's. Now, you might have to go to a hole in the wall to get those really, really good chicken wings, but they're still better than anybody else's.
I'm just curious, like, where is this coming from, too? Is this teed up behind closed doors by the head coach? You know, like, so Smith is now down in Miami, Mike McDaniel, and... You may not like Jim Harbaugh. I do. I like some of his tactics. And it's not long ago, he could not get over on Ohio State. Couldn't. And so what did he do one off season? Just plastered all over the walls.
What are you doing today?
What are you doing today to beat Ohio State?
I love it.
Shouldn't that be the Mike McDaniel, what are you doing today to beat the Buffalo
Bills?
No,
what was his thing? We talked about it earlier this offseason. He's got like a number. Is it the how many years since they've advanced in the first round or something like that?
Yeah.
He's like focused on the number that's associated with this negative image.
That's it. Okay, whatever it is. It's all meetings start at 23 past the hour.
That's right. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It's been 23 years since they
23 years.
Won a playoff game?
Which I don't agree with that because it goes back to our drought take. Like, the guys who were here in Buffalo in 2016 were not here in 2001. They had nothing to do with it.
That's right. I think Jonnu Smith's a dummy. That's my take. He's just a dummy. I wonder what kind of person says what he says about a town that he's not from, that he only has been to when playing professional football, a guy who had a lot of promise early in his career, failed spectacularly when given a massive opportunity and compensation to go with that opportunity, and is now hanging on. I don't really care what Jonnu Smith has to say. Say whatever you want about Buffalo, buddy. It's fine.
Now, this isn't Brian Cox, who you could say he was the best middle linebacker in the game at the time. And like coming in and double birth, that was different.
Yeah, he's good. Jonnu Smith's a guy at this point.
He may not even make the team, let's be honest.
He's a guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy. He couldn't cut it in New England. Okay. Hey, look, it's sometimes it's hard to defend why we are where we are, like what Western New York. You know, for me, it's the people who think that I live just outside of New York City, even though New York City, we're in the same state. Yeah. Yes, granted, but they don't understand that Rochester, Buffalo is nowhere near New York City. And we have our own thing, our own separation, our own culture. And it's a hard thing to explain to anybody who's not from here. The quality of life that we get to experience. Yes, the winters are a little bit longer. Yes, we get a little bit more snow than everybody. That's fine. It's all fine. It's all good. I mean, the point that he made about how people from Buffalo can't wait to get down to Miami, yeah, there's some truth to that, too. There's a lot of people, myself included, that every year I look forward to my 1 week where I can get down to Florida and get my toes in the sand. But that's more about just getting some vitamin D than it is anything.
I would say that, and I have proof of this, that's not a Buffalo thing. That's a Northeast thing. There was a very popular sports show in Miami. That was a New York sports show. There were so many transplants in South Florida that it was New York sports talk on a Florida sports talk station. Can you imagine that? Here, transplants, we're going to talk about the Jets today. That's like, oh.
Yeah.
So, no, we don't have Buffalo sports talk down in South Florida, although they want to say Sal Capaccio was doing a thing down there before you. That's so right. It's been done.
That's right. No, I'm not really going to lose any sleep over the thoughts of Jonnu Smith. Good luck, and I hope he makes the team. I hope he makes the team, and I hope they get to see him twice this year. And I'd love to look at those stat lines after he's done to see exactly what he's done against the Buffalo Bills in 2024.
I mean, do you have any Bills leaving here and trashing the place?
No. Not, I mean, maybe during the drought when the culture was at its absolute worst, you had some people wondering, like, okay.
Willis McGahee. Move the team to Toronto. Case closed. Like, okay, that got people riled up.
Yeah, they've come a long way. I mean, they have kind of changed the narrative around the team and around the city.
A lot of this will kind of quiet down, I'm telling you. And going back to my airport analogy, when the new stadium is built, and they will have a first-class visiting locker room, these players don't go out and about the town. They have no idea.
I still want that competitive advantage. Can we somehow mix up the hot and cold or make sure that there's not, you know, something that you can affect the outcome of the game where it's like, well, you can use the stadium as an excuse. Oh, whatever. We're still working out the bugs.
Yeah.
Sorry, you don't have Wi-Fi in your locker room. Sorry about that. No internet for your side.
In the last 2 years, there was one game where there wasn't any hot water in the visiting locker room. Yeah, I would think that would be a problem.
Yeah. Let's get to the voice of the Baltimore Orioles. Big weekend series between the O's and the Yankees. Ben Wagner going to stop by the sports bar next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
A Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates has been named the starting pitcher of the All-Star game for the National League. Pirates tonight playing the White Sox. Big series in Baltimore, the Yankees and the Orioles. Ben Wagner from the Orioles broadcast team joining us next. All the action in the majors under the lights tonight, including Kansas City at Boston, the Mets hosting Colorado. Rochester Red Wings tonight continue their series in Central Massachusetts against Worcester. The Wings are back home coming up on Tuesday. WNBA tonight, Caitlin Clark in action. Her and the Indiana Fever taking on Phoenix. Sports is brought to you by GetMyPerks.com. Get a $50 certificate for half price to $6.50 in Sodus Point. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Back in the Sports Bar, it's Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're kicking off your sports weekend with us here on the Fan Rochester. Big weekend series for the Yankees against the Orioles. We welcome in voice of the Orioles, our buddy Ben Wagner, stopping by the Sports Bar in advance of this weekend series here before we get to the All-Star break. Ben, it's good to have you on with us. How you been? And how are the Orioles doing after getting swept by the Cubs?
Ooh, I'm doing better than the offense right now, currently. I've shown some signs of life individually, so that's good. It was, you know what, I'll give the Cubs a lot of credit. Imanaga was outstanding two nights ago. Last night, Justin Steele, fantastic. That was about as dominant from an opponent standpoint as you can be against a club that you're coming into that was playing pretty good baseball, to be quite honest, and shut them out in back-to-back ball games and spent 24 innings. I think it's been since the O's have even played it a run. I mean, we were talking about 20-plus inning droughts without a home run. Now we're just scratching and clawing trying to get through this little rut that the offense is in. But the Cubs played really good baseball. They made some great defensive plays over the 3 days that they were in town, and they had a couple of guys that were very cold, Dansby Swanson for one. You know, they got hot in 72 hours, and the Cubs just put it all together, and they really dominated that entire three-game series.
Yeah, it's a long season, as you know, Ben, and we've seen the O's in this position before where they got swept by the Cardinals, got swept by Houston, snapped out of it. So how were they able before to just kind of, you know, get back on track here?
Well, it's a long season, and, you know, we live and we die by the result of the night, right? I mean, you can celebrate a win one day, and in 48 hours, we're loathing the loss in the course of a baseball season. That's the beauty of the game and the fact that it happens every day, right? This is still a club that's going to flirt with 100 wins if they keep on this current pace, which should be plenty good enough to stay atop this division. And the ebbs and the flows of this season have come in waves. It's been starting pitching. It's been bullpen. It's been offense. So right now, unfortunately, it's just the offense when they're getting pretty solid starting pitching. When you're not hitting, 2 and 3 run deficits become enormous. And when you are hitting and averaging 4 or 5 runs a night, you know, you seem like you're never out of a ballgame. And one swing with this lineup can get you right back in it. And with this ball club, you're only one swing away from breaking it wide open. And all season long, this is a lineup that has proved its length, especially with Anthony Santander getting hot and turning around fastballs to a clip that nobody hit more home runs in the month of June than Tony. This is an offense that has superstars littered all the way around the diamond and guys that are just kind of blossoming on the scene. So that's how close they are. I mean, they're just collectively in a funk right now. And whether the All-Star break can arrive at a good time or a bad time, depending on who the team is, I think it's coming at a pretty good time for some guys to just take a beat mentally. Unfortunately, on the eve of the All-Star break, when you want to take your breath, you've got the biggest series to this point in the first half. You know, with the Yankees scuffling and the offense, of course, not really producing at a high clip. A lot of focus goes in these 3 days. If the Yankees can salvage something, get right back into the division, and where it's a 2-game cushion right now for the O's coming into the first of three tonight.
I was going to say, I mean, unfortunately, what do you mean? I mean, if you need a recipe for a slump buster, bring in the New York Yankees and let's see how it goes going into the All-Star break. Is somebody, you know, watching, kind of observing the rest of the division, Ben, what do you see here with the Yankees? What has gone wrong with this team that looks so good to start the season here as they come into this series with Baltimore?
Well, remember how healthy the Yankees were at the start of the year? They went through the first month plus without their rotation missing any beat, and they knew that they were going to get Gerrit Cole back. So health first and foremost, and the depth of their rotation allowed a very good bullpen, and this is a really good bullpen in New York that is lights out and got some high power, and I like the dynamic build of that Yankees bullpen. So if you got a starter in New York, and we saw this in April and May, if you had a Yankee starter that gets into the sixth or the seventh inning, all of a sudden it's teed up perfectly for Aaron Boone to just roll these guys out one by one, 7, 8, 9 or 8 and 9, whatever the case may be. But once you find some cracks, things become exposed a little bit. And when the injury started to happen and Clark Schmidt was the first to go down, now they knew they were going to get Gerrit Cole back, but Gerrit Cole has not been the dominant Gerrit Cole that we saw last year, certainly. I mean, not the All-Star caliber or the Cy Young Award-winning caliber yet. Hopefully he doesn't get it back on track tonight because he's going to get the opening assignment here against the O's this evening. For me, it starts with the dominant pitching that they had and the consistency that the Yankees had. Once that started to teeter, that's when the losses came. And that's the reason that it's been a really difficult 3 weeks. You know, Nestor Cortes hasn't been as sharp as he was early in the season. Gerrit Cole, obviously, has not really contributed the way that they thought that he would be as dominant. And the ripple effects off of all of that.
Former Buffalo Bisons broadcaster. He also spent time in Rochester. A little bit Ben Wagner, now one of the Orioles broadcasters. Good enough to give us a few minutes here in the sports bar. I mean, we're all kind of excited about this series, Yankees-Orioles. But how do the guys, what are they saying in the O's clubhouse right now? Because you want to keep an even keel, but are they putting a little more emphasis on this, Ben?
I don't think so. You know what? And this is a clubhouse that had expectations raised over the course of last summer when they were playing at a high level and they had massive series and they had a lot of games down the stretch. They have gone through collectively with essentially the same clubhouse, the wars together. And while the bumps weren't nearly as, I don't think they were as bad as what they have been at various times this season from last year. But the only thing that I can pick up a tenor that, you know, there is concern about runners in scoring position. This is a team that last year led Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position, and that has not been a place where they have excelled this season. And that's just kind of the over glaring situation for me that the Orioles could take that next step forward. But when you talk about tenor, when you talk about, you know, mood in the clubhouse, when you talk about, you know, the dog days of summer arriving, what does it feel like to be in there? It feels like every day is just the same day at the office, to be honest with you. It's a collective bunch that is very even-keeled to begin with the personalities. They're extremely supportive of their teammates. They've been playing together forever, since 2019, and so many of this young core that is now succeeding at an extremely high level in the major leagues got really, really close around the pandemic season when everybody got, you know, into their little pockets or pods of friends and family. They were no different. I mean, all these players were together and they really got to know each other. And, you know, that tight knit bond, that closeness, that just trust in each other, that seems to be the rallying cry of this season, regardless of the highs and certainly in the lows.
I mean, when you look at the roster, it's just loaded with so much good young talent, an exciting young roster that you could see winning for a long time. I'm just curious, when you talk about, you know, how they're all even keeled and they've kind of grown up and gone through this together, is there one guy that stands out for the O's that has been the guy?
Can I answer that and see if he agrees with me?
Oh, go ahead.
Ben, it's got to be Henderson, right? Home run derby Monday night. And, I mean, are we going to see him against Skeens coming up on Tuesday night?
I think you can mark it down in the first inning. You should have Gunnar Henderson in the top three, maybe with an Aaron Judge, with a Juan Soto against Paul Skeens. Oof. And good on Major League Baseball, by the way,
yes, for
giving the people what they want. What they have been salivating over through spring training, the month plus that he was dominating AAA in Indianapolis. Finally, he makes the splash in the big leagues, and this guy just has not let up one iota. And yesterday was just another indication of how dominant Paul Skeens can be in a huge moment. He goes out there in a very efficient 7 no-hit innings and looks as crisp as he's ever been at any point in his career. And why wouldn't you start this guy in the Midsummer Classic? It's an exhibition game anyway. It's an all-star spring training game. I mean, it means nothing. Give the people what they want when they turn on the television right away for the first pitch and Paul Skeens lets 102-mile-an-hour rip right out of his hand. I love it. I love the fact that Major League Baseball had a pulse in this situation and, you know, didn't kind of fold to what the old guard might have done in a lot of scenarios and gave the ball to Paul Skeens. So circle back on the question, who's been the guy? It's been an MVP-caliber season for Gunnar Henderson. He has been plugging the gap with extra bases. His power to left center field, let alone what he can drive the ball to right center field. He doesn't go down the line much. He doesn't pull a lot of stuff straight to right field and down the line all that often. That's honestly what reminds me a lot about some young power hitters that I've seen when they're really good and locked in. It is line drive, gap to gap, and you can just fill in the spray chart from gap to gap, and Gunnar Henderson has been able to do that. And right behind him, and the home run total is going to get a lot of the headlines, and deservedly so. And Gunnar's got the power. He's got tremendous speed and instincts when he's on the baseball field, and just another layer to him is his defense. But the other guy that's playing up the middle, too, right behind the plate, is Adley Rutschman. Yeah. And switch hitter, he's got power. He's got an extremely good eye, patience, and a great approach at the plate. If it's not 1-2, it's like 1A, 1B with those two guys and what they're able to do right away at the top of that car.
Yeah, Ben, I'm a little jealous because I saw some of the video you were sharing yesterday to watch batting practice. But this wasn't your typical batting practice. This is Gunnar Henderson changing his swing a little bit. He's in the Home Run Derby to win this. What was that like yesterday?
You know what? I've seen this with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. the last couple of years with the Blue Jays. Fortunate enough, you know, to have a really good seat to watch Vladdy and kind of his springboard into the limelight in Major League Baseball. And guys, about a week out from the Home Run Derby, will go through practice sessions. And more importantly, they go through practice sessions with a guy that will be pitching to them in the Home Run Derby. And the rules have changed a little bit over the years, you know, with the rapid fire, with the timeline, with the timer set, with the individual sequences. And that rhythm is what you're trying to establish, one, as a hitter in the batter's box, but two, also with the bullpen or whoever is out of the bullpen in that situation or who's ever going to throw then in the All-Star Home Run Derby. John Schneider's done it, famously so, with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. his last couple of times. Buck Britton, the AAA manager from Norfolk, was selected by Gunnar to get out there. Buck left his duties skippering the Norfolk Tides ahead of the batting practice event yesterday that we watched. And, you know, talking with Gunnar and other players that have done this, it's a weird feeling because you're not in that scenario. You're used to the cage being around you. You're used to feeling somewhat in a cocoon in your own little prism here. And when that cage gets rolled back and all of a sudden it's open space above you, there's nobody on the diamond you're looking at. There's an L screen and there's guy just chucking batting practice at you. It changes everything. So getting the feel of what a batting cage or what that batting scenario feels like and getting feel of the rhythm is some of the little things that are important to get past once these guys go through these practice sessions.
Ben, anything to the slump that we see a lot of Home Run Derby competitors go through after the Derby is completed?
If I had the elixir for this, man, I'd be talking to you from my own private island because guys would pay a lot of money to figure out why these guys go into the slump. It is exhausting. By and large, anybody that I've ever talked to from a minor league standpoint, guys that have gone through the Home Run Derbies in that participation, it's a lot of emotion. It's a lot of energy, a lot of adrenaline, even to get to that point before you step in the batter's box, let alone then the exertion that you have to do. You know, we watch Vladdy hit 92 home runs. They tweaked it a little bit. So who knows what the home run totals are going to be like, you know, coming up this year, but it's the timer in the back of your mind. You're thinking about the time, your rhythm in the box, your swing, everything else that goes into this, let alone just the fact you're absolutely gassed after the Home Run Derby. And listen, you change your swing. You're trying to launch. You're trying to launch, baby. And it's about the show. It's about the spectacle. And if it gets you in a funk and all of a sudden you're not into the regular routine the next couple of days, you might take a week plus for some of these guys to get out of it.
We're talking to Ben Wagner, Orioles broadcaster, who we had you on, well, it was right at the beginning of the season, and we remember the way the season began. It feels like maybe the Orioles are playing for something bigger this year. When we had you on last, it was right after the Key Bridge collapse there, Ben. How is the community responding to this? How are things coming along after that disaster?
It is the number one story in this city. It is the number one thing. It is a piece of their landscape. It is a part of the fabric of the history of this city. And it is the number one topic in every news cycle, certainly. And it's still a rather large talking point from going to lunch or dinner when you're out in the community. It's the number one thing. It's a community that has rallied a number of different services, go through the recovery effort. Then it took months, literally months, to get the harbor back open. But it's part of the resiliency that this community has. It's part of embracing, you know, its aquatic nature and the fact that this port has to be part of the lifeblood and for this city and this region to survive. It's a very viable part of what makes this area succeed and keep commerce driven, you know, from a government standpoint, certainly, and then from just a commercial standpoint. And that's why it's really rallied so many people, from first responders to government leaders to just individuals that might be loosely connected to it, let alone the people that, for a lot of people in communities, that now have to look out of their backyard or maybe a window in their home and see something that's different. And in the next 3 to 4 years, something new will arrive on the skyline, and it'll certainly be celebrated. But it is a rallying cry, certainly. There is not a day that goes by at the ballpark that there is some recognition, there is some honoree, there is a visitor, maybe a family member of somebody that's been connected to this unfortunate tragedy that happened in the community. But it is certainly at the forefront, and it's been a massive commitment from David Rubenstein and the ownership group of the Baltimore Orioles to help fund the recovery and then the resurgence to get the Francis Scott Key Bridge back in the air.
Ben, help us handicap the second half of the season here post All-Star break in the AL East. We know you have a lot of familiarity with at least two of these teams, and the Yankees coming in this weekend. We see the Red Sox now looking like a playoff team. How do you think this all shakes out down the stretch?
Well, I think it's going to be a really fun back half of the season, unofficial back half of the season. I think the Red Sox are going to improve. They need to improve. They need to add. If they don't add, I think they are making a really big pivot in their franchise philosophy. I really do. I really do, because they brought Alex Cora back with the initiative to win. They made changes above him and changes in kind of the direction and maybe even the landscape of how they were going to operate, but that doesn't change how they can operate and go out and acquire good players that they think they could improve, because they got themselves back into the race. I think the Yankees might – I'm okay with the Yankees, to be quite honest. I mean, do they have needs? Yeah. Every team has warts. But I think it's going to be a three-team race. I really think the Rays are going to strip it down, because they can get waves of prospects back in return, or people that they identify to get back in return to help the franchise moving forward. They're just not in a position right now, and they know it. And they've got tons of commodities available for other teams. The Toronto Blue Jays, I think, over the last 24 hours, with the players that have been on waivers and just reading the tea leaves, they're certainly – positioning themselves to unload a ton of talent as well. So that turns the division into a three-team race. And with the way that the schedule breaks out for the Orioles, I really think that, one, the competition level, plus then the way the schedule breaks out with the off days, they've kind of gone through their gauntlet already on the schedule. So I think this really plays into favor for the O's and what they have in the front. So I would place the O's, the Yankees, and the Red Sox really making a run at this thing, and the destiny is in the hands of the Baltimore Orioles if they can handle the division, which they have had extreme success over the last year plus doing so.
I don't think the Orioles have any glaring needs to go out for the trade deadline, but this is not the old Orioles. When they went out and got Corbin Burns, like, whoa, you know, that guy's a stud. So it kind of raises everybody's expectation, I would think. What do you think the Orioles – yeah, what do you think the Orioles be in the market for? What would they need at the trade deadline, Ben?
Well, I think starting pitching is still something that every team would love to acquire if it's available. And certainly the Orioles are going to be involved in those conversations, because when you lose four pitchers on your depth chart that should have been out of your six, I call it a six-man rotation, because nobody uses 1 through 5 to go 162 anymore. I really think the conversation has to circle around a starter. I think they can bulk up their bullpen by getting Albert Suarez back in there. I think he's such a valuable piece, using him 2 or 3 times a day. So a starting pitcher would be really, really key for this club moving forward, and maybe a bullpen add if you want to get a little bit more dynamic in the makeup of your bullpen. They can add, certainly, and they've got the capital and the system, let alone some pieces that are also maybe a little flexible on the major league roster without really damaging your 1 through 9 or your attack versus right-handed, left-handed. I think that they can add off of the major league roster as well, with not stripping down the farm system too much. It's a really interesting franchise to look at right now, with pieces and the versatility that you've got on the diamond, with guys that can slide and play different positions, let alone the prospects that are down there in the minor leagues and just absolutely torching the baseball from a position player standpoint. And a lot of franchises would plug a number of these prospects at Triple A right into their major league lineup if they had an opportunity to grab them. That's why I think the Orioles certainly are going to be in a position to add. And to me, the biggest need will be bulk up the rotation. If something's there that makes sense to change the bullpen a little bit, I think they could do it. And I think that's where they really put their sights on and focus on making this ball club a little bit more well-rounded and deep.
Ben, before we let you go, you're new. You're new in this area. You sound like you've acclimated. You sound like you've been in Baltimore your entire career. How are you holding up, buddy? How's everything doing in the new settings?
I'm loving life. I honestly, like, this place has been a great transition, and all of it is because of the atmosphere and what has been honestly gifted to me from a front office standpoint, the individuals that I was talking to this past winter that brought me in and were really excited about having me. And that was incredible. That was so encouraging. And so, I was just so enthusiastic about getting on the ground, getting this thing rolling. And that really set the pace, that set the tone to how my professional life is operating, and now my personal life is operating. So I give all the credit to Greg Bader and the team that's around him here in the Baltimore Orioles organization, and also getting acclimated to the coaches and that clubhouse. I'm telling you, I love going to work every day, and that is a byproduct of the atmosphere that's promoted around Brandon Hyde's clubhouse, the players that are in it, and we've named a ton of them while we've been on the conversation today, let alone what the front office has picked up the phone time and time again. Just asked me, hey, are you okay? Can we do anything for you to make your transition from one city to the next, one organization to the next? Is there anything that you need? And, man, that's just been such a refreshing thing to hear. And I just feel so confident where we're at right now, personally and professionally. So it's been great. And I'm glad you hear my enthusiasm.
Ben, it can't be all that good. Honestly, you're working with Nate Rowan.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a great point, Gene. Yeah, that's a problem.
Remember when I said everybody's got warts?
Yeah.
we can identify them. If we get too close in the lens. No, you know what? But I will tell you this. It's the people, and I will say this until the day that I take my last breath on earth. The atmosphere that you're around and the people that you surround yourself with every day is the reason that you put yourself in a frame of mind to go through that day, whatever that frame is. And it's such in concert with the people that you're around. And I know Nate going all the way, forget Rochester. I knew Nate as an intern in Norfolk, Virginia, when he was with the Tide.
Yeah.
And he was dropping stat packs and game notes off in the press box. And that's, you know, my first kind of, you know, bud in the relationship that Nate had. Then, of course, he gets an opportunity to spend those years in Rochester, and he was great when we were battling through the Thruway Cup between the Bisons and the Rochester Red Wings and all those years. And, man, have I ever spent some time in the Flower City, I'll tell you. And, you know, with Josh and Nate and the good guys that are just around that clubhouse, again, like, I love going to work every day. There is no doubt that I am on this planet to be in a ballpark every afternoon and every evening, and to call Major League Baseball. And I got a chance to live out my professional dream. And I'm so thankful, and I roll out of bed and still pinch myself every day. And I remind myself going to the ballpark, maybe not every day, but pretty close to every day, that I am living my dream, and to take no day for granted.
Good for you, Ben.
Ben, I think Sunday you're going to have a historic day. Name me a bigger game in Major League Baseball history that had an AM start time.
The last time that I remember a bigger AM start time might have been an R.A. Dickey start for Kids Day, you know, in downtown Buffalo. I've not done a couple of things in my 7 years in the major leagues. I've not had a lot of Sunday night baseball games. I checked that off the list a couple of weeks ago, and I have not had a day or an AM start. An AM start. I will roll out of bed with vigor and caffeine. Trust me for that 11:35 tilt.
Love it. Ben, you sound great. Man, it's great to have you on with us. Appreciate you giving us some time. Enjoy your weekend. Let's do it again soon.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks so much for reaching out. And hopefully we're either talking about a postseason push or the postseason next time we chat.
Ben, we got a lot of Oriole fans in the area. Appreciate the time, and go get them this weekend. Have a good broadcast.
Thank you, guys. Go O's.
You got it. Thanks, Ben Wagner. And we got more Yankee fans listening, of course. But there you go.
I'm cognizant that dating back how many years to the Red Wings, I mean, there are a lot of O's fans.
Sure, no question.
The Mimosas on Sunday. If you're not familiar, this game is on Roku. That's where everybody's going to be like, Roku.
I have Roku. I can watch it. Yay.
We all have Roku, but we don't. Who actually watches Roku, though?
I've never watched Roku.
I know, but now
but maybe I will.
Now you have to.
Maybe I'll watch that as the appetizer before the Euros final that I want to watch with my daughter on Sunday.
All those apps on your TV you're not paying attention to and like, oh, that's the one. Yeah, so Roku, if you're not familiar, they have the Sunday morning baseball game. And wouldn't you know, it's Yankees-Orioles this week.
Good series coming up. Love hearing Ben Wagner. Man, he sounds great. Sounds like he's having a blast.
Yeah, and that's kind of a lesson, too. Like, hey, like, not that the Blue Jays did him wrong. They just decided, hey, we're going to pare things down. Like, the Blue Jays were the one team that, coming out of the pandemic, they weren't sending their radio guys on the road.
Yeah.
So, like, things have worked out really well for Ben.
We'll talk to the voice of the Rochester Americans coming up next hour. That's Don Stevens, the Hall of Famer. He'll stop by right around 4:25. We'll take a break here, come back with more next. Your phone calls are always welcome. And thanks for spending your sports weekend with us here on The Fan Rochester. 866-4326-585. 866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.